I'm not afraid to do the Lord's work. They say vengeance is his, but I'ma do it first. I'ma handle my business in the name of the Lord. Now if he made you cry, then I gotta know. If he ain't ready to die, you best prepare for it. Ain't gonna be no shelter to tell you who you can call. You can call. Well, you better call the police. Call the coroner. Call up your priest. I've been warning you. Won't be no peace when I find that fool. Who did that to you, my darling? Who did that to you?
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, December 7th, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And wild ride it is, to be sure. It just gets wilder and stranger all the time. Things are perilous in the decline of American empire, shall we say. It is December 7th. So today is Pearl Harbor Day, so to speak. And before we unpack the 76th anniversary of this false flag event, officially marking the United States' entry into World War II, a few other observations. First, Richie from Boston was supposed to be with us today. He had to reschedule. And so that rescheduling is tentative at the moment. So I'll hold off on announcing that. That's unfortunate. I hope everything works out okay for Richie. And we look forward to his coming on the broadcast again as soon as possible. Garrett Coleman, however, is scheduled for tomorrow, and I'm very excited about that. We'll see kind of where that discussion goes. I anticipate a lot of things. Probably Israelgate, probably Catalan, Myanmar, Iran, maybe probably coercive engineered migration, the Wahhabizing of the West and Western Europe in particular. And why all those things are important, you know, the misreporting really kind of on a lot of those things, Israel, Iran in particular, Myanmar, Catalan. If you visit Gerardo Coleman's website, gerardocoleman.org, you'll see that he's written a series of articles. I think all of them were published back in October, but a series of articles on Catalan. And so to understand, you know, ordinarily I would say geopolitics wouldn't be important, but in the 20th century, this concept of geopolitics was really formalized, and now suddenly we're all encouraged to believe that it's all just, you know, we're all just one big melting pot, and we should all be the same and act the same and think the same, and it's absurd. But don't worry, because soon enough, transhumanism followed by posthumanism will take all of our worries and concerns away, won't it? But I digress. So real quick, I just saw a commercial this morning on CNN for Generation 2030 featuring Rima Bandar Al Saud, president of the Mass Participation Foundation. So visiting the prescribed website, generation2030.co, that site redirects to advertisementfeature.cnn.com/2017/generation2030. Don't worry about writing all that down. Just go to generation2030.co and you'll see the redirect for yourself. So CNN, it's an advertisement for CNN, including a site that's a microsite of CNN built on that subdomain advertisementfeature.cnn.com. So it's a video series, commercials, a website. It's all kinds of things featuring some key prominent Saudi figures. So one has to wonder why, and I haven't done any research on this yet, but you know, one has to wonder, why does the House of Saud need to advertise its Generation 2030 campaign here in America? I saw it here in America. Why do I need to see it? You know, you watch, I assure you, reading and watching the material presented, as I did, I kind of skimmed through it all quickly. Reading and watching the material presented provides little to no insight on the matter. Thus, I ask, Ki Bono, who benefits from this ad campaign? It's very odd, I think. Makes me very suspicious. You know, when you're looking at something that you think is supposed to be meaningful, someone obviously spent a considerable amount of time, effort, and money. There were considerable resources devoted to this. One has to wonder why. And so, once again, I'm sort of reminded of the words of Jefferson, Washington in particular, Adams, but you know, Washington in his farewell address, and those foreign interests. Kind of funny how that's happening. And speaking of foreign interests, Israelgate is something that hopefully we'll kind of dive into tomorrow with Gerda Coleman. That's the real story. It's interesting. What is the site? Nope. The news agency, the New Arab News Agency, that has some great reporting. LRB.co.uk. Is that it? That doesn't seem right. Maybe it is. If that's the site I'm thinking of, they have some great stories on, I would say, better reporting as far as who's who in the zoo over on that side of the world, so to speak. Since it's Pearl Harbor Day, we'll probably talk a little bit about James Perloff. You know, I always have to, I posted on Twitter this morning a retweet of James Perloff's post. Today, Perloff posted, today is Pearl Harbor Day. I've published articles on this event. This event's backstory since 1985. The attack was provoked, all caps, and foreknown, all caps. FDR put fleet in Hawaii against all naval advice, then scapegoated Navy. My last post on it, Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt's 9/11. That was back in 2014. And so what else is there to say? You know, if you go to Ralph Epperson's website, and I commented to my own reposting of James Perloff's post that I just read with the image of the Hilo Tribune Herald cover, that front page above the fold cover, November 30th, 1941, Japan may strike over weekend. That was the headline, front page above the fold in the Hilo Tribune Herald. On Sunday, November 30th, 1941. In other words, a week before Japan attacked. So, as Ralph Epperson noted, if 9 congressional investigations concluded that FDR did not know in advance, how in the world was the Hilo Tribune Herald able to deduce, a week in advance at least, that Japan may strike over weekend. How could the Hilo Tribune Herald have possibly have known, and the president and his men not have known? Makes one wonder, doesn't it? Not possible, that's how. So Pearl Harbor was a setup, as all of these staged events are. You know, Eustace Mullins says it best. War is a world order production. Very managed, very carefully managed, very carefully orchestrated and choreographed. And World War II and Pearl Harbor was no different. So if you go to James Perloff's website, jamesperloff.com, you'll see. And speaking of reading lists, I think his homepage has a list of information. And, you know, while we're on the subject of newspapers, I mentioned recently, if you visit James Perloff's site, you'll see that quote, Jefferson to John Norville, June 14, 1807. Nothing can now be believed, which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put in that polluted vehicle. The real extent of this state of misinformation is known only to those who are in situations to confront facts within their knowledge with the lies of the day. I really look with commiseration over the great body of my fellow citizens who, reading newspapers, live and die in the belief that they have known something of what has been passing in the world. And then Perloff adds, today, of course, mass media takes many forms besides newspapers, but the standards Jefferson spoke of haven't changed. Television network newscast might be substituted for newspaper in the above paragraph. Jefferson further said, I will add that the man who never looks into a newspaper is better informed than he who reads them, inasmuch as he who knows nothing is nearer to the truth than he whose mind is filled with falsehoods and errors. And I would add, perhaps just kind of parenthetically to conclude that thought, that Ralph McGahee's observation is perhaps in order here. Where does the falsehood, where do the falsehoods and errors, from whence do they derive? Largely the product of the military-industrial complex, the spy state. And Ralph McGahee wrote in his book back in 1983, his book titled Deadly Deceits, the CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors. In that capacity, it overthrows or supports foreign governments. Enter Generation 2030, the House of Saud's advertisement. In that capacity, it overthrows or supports foreign governments while reporting intelligence, or Israelgate, I should say, too. While reporting intelligence, and that largely through the mainstream press, right, justifying those activities, it shapes its intelligence even in such critical areas as Soviet nuclear weapon capability or weapons of mass destruction or gassing their own people or all of those kinds of sound bites that we hear. Soviet nuclear weapon capability or North Korean missile technology or whatever stovepiping of the day is required to support presidential policy. Disinformation, here's the key. Speaking of Jefferson's intimation and those falsehoods and errors, from whence do they derive? Disinformation is a large part of its covert action responsibility, and the American people are the primary target audience of its lies. That's the CIA. At least according to a 25-year career CIA veteran, Ralph McGahee. So that's kind of where we are today. And, you know, the CIA benefited from the false flag event of Pearl Harbor. by its creation, the National Security Act of 1947 formalized the CIA, converted the OSS to the CIA, and gave it innumerable powers and legitimized its shadowy cloak. So speaking of Perloff and all of this nonsense, you can go to his website, as I said, and find a number of his books there. I have mentioned reading lists. Truth is a Lonely Warrior, Unmasking the Forces Behind Global Destruction, The Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations, and The American Decline. Tornado in a Junkyard, The Relentless Myth of Darwinism. And Case Against Darwin, Why the Evidence Should Be Examined. You know, I said it the other day, and I'll say it again because it's a provocative observation. The next time you encounter, well, I don't want to pick a fight. I don't want to cause any problems necessarily. But it's a provocative realization when we hear the theory of evolution always starts with nothing exploded into something. And that's a head scratcher. How does nothing explode into something? You know, again, the old joke, whatever nuanced derivation you want to give it, scientists say we can create the Big Bang. All we need is a little matter, and God says get your own matter. So nothing exploded into something. But here's the provocative irony. When has man ever created anything that exploded into something, let alone perfection? If you look at the anthropic principle and you realize that for life to exist on this planet, the anthropic principle mandates that, like the dials on a synthesizer, you have several conditions that must be met with specific precision. And if they're not met with specific precision, then there is no life. It can't exist. And as John from Tennessee pointed out recently, within that anthropic principle, you have a number of ecosystems that are mutually dependent, so to speak. In other words, they couldn't exist without one another within this anthropic principle. So you have a macrocosm of this and several microcosms, if that makes sense. And to think that something exploded from nothing into perfection, perfect anthropic principle balance, is quite a head scratcher. You know, it takes the already absurd probability into, you know, mythical proportions. Unless, of course, you understand the possibility. See, we live in a world that is ordered a certain way. We can tell which direction we're headed by things like entropy, for example. Entropy indicates time is linear because things have a tendency to go from a state of order to chaos, not to give a nod to bad guys and their esoteric ordo ab chao. But things, you know, if you don't clean your closet, eventually it'll have cobwebs and be dusty and things will become will fall into disrepair, right? So God's character in nature is the opposite of that. So for him, it wouldn't be difficult to explode something into perfection, so to speak, if that makes sense. Anyway, enough on that. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
So, to conclude that thought, the risk we run now is an engineered obfuscation of God, basically. That's what we see happening in society, in American society today and in other places around the world. You hear, even in creation science circles, And science is just science, by the way. Whenever science is glued onto something, it's usually pseudoscience. But you hear about creation often to the exclusion of a, or more appropriately, the creator. This is all engineered. This is all by design. And, you know, Pike's letter to Mazzini comes to mind, obviously. But I think that that's been hybridized in recent years. Coming through the 20th century, you know, you read things like the work channeled by and credited to Alice Bailey, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. You see this concept, the end of the Third World War that was outlined in the ostensibly apocryphal letter from Pike to Mazzini back in 1871, and the words, "Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and this and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity." But remember, it's counterfeit Christianity, a la the prologue of the Union Jack that I always read, published back in 1971, "whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer," Satan, that is, the fallen one, "brought finally out into the public view." It's funny how, you know, when you want to deceive people, you're not interested in God's name change from Lucifer to Satan. You want to kind of hang on to that old name. Versus Jacob having his name changed to Israel and that being counterfeited. Now we don't have the nation of Israel or the land of Israel. We have the state of Israel. Well, Jacob had his name changed. When did he turn into a state? Answer, he didn't. Continuing, though, from Pike's letter, "This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time." See, how do you mush people together into one homogeneous, pasty, androgynous, hermaphroditic mass? The same way you make a very strong sword. You take two opposing metals, so to speak, and you hammer them together, and then you fold them over, hammer them together, and keep doing that process. In the same sense, that's kind of how the dialectic works. That's why we see these diametrically opposed concepts or people groups. You know, you hear, always be suspicious when all of a sudden in the mainstream press or some group somewhere is saying we need to identify some group along ideological lines. And as far as ideological lines are concerned, I think one of the best voices to kind of shine a bright light on the perilous dangers of drawing ideological lines and how narrowly they become circumscribed and how restrictive they are. One of the best voices is Jordan Peterson, I think. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: "Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health by Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture in the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Watch your step, lest you move on dead. It lay there cordially underneath your last breath. Hold your tongue, still I've gone. The beast that follows is close, but we'll move on. Snake eyes, always on my tail. Snake eyes, always up ahead. Oh, snake eyes, hidden in the dark. Snake eyes, better catch a spark.
I'm going to bang through some stuff, and let's open up the phone lines early because tomorrow I anticipate will probably just be action-packed with Garrett Coleman. So if you have a comment, feel free to weigh in. Some of this stuff upcoming should – I mean, if what I said already doesn't provoke some people to comment, then, you know, whatever. Not that that's what we're trying to do. I'm not – trying to provoke anything, you know, getting back to, I think, what Renee in North Carolina said recently, you know, that's a model that has circulated widely, even in alternative media circles, which is unfortunate. You know, provoking people is not typically a good idea. And that's ironic because the clip that we're going to play, Jordan Peterson mentions that. I said before, one of the best voices, I think, in the previous segment, I said one of the best voices countering the, you know, ideological trap, essentially, is Jordan Peterson, I think. And he has some very provocative insights along those lines. And speaking of that, here's a clip. You can find the shorts. He has his channel, Jordan Peterson, Jordan B. Peterson on YouTube, and he has the shorts channel, Jordan B. Peterson Clips, where you can find clips of his talks and things at Toronto University. But and then, of course, other people have made his, you know, taken segments of his talks and different things and circulated those on YouTube as well. But this is a clip from the Joe Rogan Experience back on September 1st, 2017. Go ahead, please.
I've been trying to do with my videos, and I think this is part of the reason that they've become so popular. I'm certain of it, is that I've been trying to agitate for the adoption of that personal responsibility as an alternative to political ideology. It's like, get your act together, have a vision, straighten out your life, say what you think. You know, stay away from the ideological idiocies and simplicity and oversimplifications, and try to put yourself together. Because I think that I do believe, at the most fundamental level, and I think this is the remarkable realization of Western civilization, is that the well-developed individual is the antidote to the tyranny of society and biology. I think that's our great discovery in the West. It's not like other cultures haven't had that idea in nascent form, but it's been hyper-developed in the West, and I think it's right. And so we abandon that pathway of divine individuality and revert to ideological identification of race or sex. We're going to tear each other apart. And I think part of the reason we're motivated to do that, Joe, is because many people don't want to bear the responsibility of developing themselves as individuals. So they'll shuffle off the responsibility, and if that means that, you know, we're dancing in the streets because everything's on fire, that'll be just fine. And that's another thing that's adding to the terrible danger that we're in right now. So,
well said. Well said. And see, it's engineered. This is not some accidental process. People are, you know, encouraged to do that. You know, identity politics is a thing. These ideological groups, from cradle to grave, really, this is a managed, engineered process. You know it. You listen to this network. You do your own homework. Schooling, you know, from cradle to grave, the herd think nonsense. And it's, we are in such a mess. You know, when you think about the capacity for artificial intelligence and machine learning to essentially take Bernays' ideas of groupthink and herdthink and apply those to the individual on a monumental scale, it's frightening, to say the least. You think of what Bernays said, for example, in Propaganda, his book published back in 1928, again, Propaganda. Edward Bernays synthesizing Uncle Sigmund's work with Madison Avenue marketing, and figuring out, essentially, or scientifically engineering the organized, well, as he put it, the way he put it in the opening words of chapter one, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses, which he wrote is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we've never heard of. Have you ever wondered why Maurice Strong gets to go to the 1992 Rio Earth Summit and say, you know what? There are too many people on Earth. America is too developed. And so we should rewild it. He was a Canadian. Why does he get to say? Why does Elon Musk, why is he any more important than you or I? Why does he get to decide that 3D tunnel digging under Los Angeles is a good idea? I think it's a horrible idea. It reminds me of Revelation 11:18. Why is he deciding and the federal government funding this effort, and you and I, why are we paying for it? But I digress. So chapter 4 of Bernays' propaganda, the psychology of public relations. How does mass psychology work? The systematic study of mass psychology, Bernays wrote, revealed to students the potentialities of invisible government of society by manipulation of the motives which actuate man in the group. So studies of the group mind establish that the group has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual and is motivated by impulses and emotions which cannot be explained on the basis of what we know of individual psychology. And these are the words of someone who wasn't guessing. They had scientifically researched this and proven it by their efforts to get people in mass numbers and groups to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. So he's not guessing. He's telling you how it works. Continuing, Bernays wrote, so the question naturally arose, sure, if you're what Jaron Lanier would call a cybernetic totalist, if you're a technocrat, if you're an autocrat, if you're a pathocrat, if you're some psycho who wants to control people, the question naturally arises. If we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? Next paragraph, the recent practice of propaganda has proved that it is possible. The recent practice of propaganda has proved that it is possible. Now, what is the difference? It's always important to define terms, you know. One of the most provocative distinctions to me in this modern era is the distinction between murder and assassination. What's the difference between murder and assassination? Assassination is murder for a political or it's a religious or politically motivated murder. Murder for a religious or political reason or motivation. And so it's an important distinction. And in the same sense, what's the difference between propaganda and information? Information is generally sort of innocuous. Information is not biased. It is not positive or negative. It's just information. It is what it is. Propaganda is information that is biased. It's presented in a biased fashion to bend your thinking in one direction or another. I remember talking to young kids years ago about there's a book at the library, something like the 100 greatest documents in American history, I think is what the title was. And I said, you know, you can probably bank on the fact that just looking at the authors and those who were consulted in this book, based on what their pedigree is, you can establish what documents will be included and what the ideological bent will be, the propaganda, essentially, because it's not information presented in factual plain terms. It's propaganda. It's information presented to bend your thinking one direction or another. So sure enough, we looked and, you know, it was, I think, 20 authors or so, and they were all fellows and senior fellows and, you know, CFR types, basically. And it was a collectivist worldview, very clearly. You know, the UN Charter is important to America? I don't think so. Maybe to understand how we've been conned, but other than that, I don't know. Anyway, so the recent practice of propaganda has proved that it is possible to manipulate the impulses and emotions of groupthink. However, now think about how artificial intelligence and machine learning can basically game you. When John in Tennessee called in and mentioned Zeynep Tufekci's most recent, I think it was November 17th, somewhere around there, TED Talk, where she said, I mean, the title of the TED Talk is "We're Building a Dystopia Just to Make You, Just to Make People Click on Ads," or Sean Parker's recent intimations at Axios, talking about how the builders of social media know that it is a feedback loop, that it's an infinite loop, if you'll let it, that exploits the vulnerabilities of human psychology, and they do that on purpose. Google just, I think, what, 2 days ago, the article ran that Google has re-engineered search to do the same thing. YouTube's videos, as Zeynep Tufekci mentioned in her video, machine learning is trying to learn you better than you know yourself, gaming you. And if Michael Kaczynski, remember the article, The Data That Turned the World Upside Down, if Michael Kaczynski's research can know you based on a few hundred likes, not posts, likes on Facebook, if their algorithms can know you better than you can know yourself within a few hundred likes, don't the same rules apply in these other platforms like YouTube? So it's taking that mass psychology, that groupthink, and applying it on an individual level to monumental proportions. It's staggering and frightening. I want to come back to, you know, don't being gamed. We'll come back to Jordan Peterson here in a minute, how to avoid being indoctrinated in school. But hopefully that little clip, how to avoid being sucked into an ideology, is something we all need to build our mental faculties. And like he said, the remarkable realization of Western civilization that the well-developed individual is the antidote to tyranny of society and biology. Don't get sucked into this. You know, as he said, in nascent form, it's been around forever, but it's been hyper-developed in the West. That's where our reading list should start if we have time. You know, if Jordy Rose doesn't have his way and his compatriots. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab William in Montana. William, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning. A lot has happened in the last 2 days that really point to the fact that, you know, Google, YouTube, 1,000 apps that you can get for your smartphones, they're no longer different. You know, it's not like, you know, Google is after us or YouTube is after us. They're one entity. They're actually one legal entity.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that you, let's say you are a smart consumer and you say, okay, I'm gonna watch this very carefully. I'm gonna go to my preferences, and I'm going to opt out of these sort of tracking things. You know, I had, you know, a Gmail account, and I only used it. I never checked it. I just had to put it together so I could register for various services and listservs and stuff, but I never checked it. But then I had to get a Gmail account for another reason. And I went in, and I was horrified when I went, and I could see every search I made, every YouTube I watched, and how long I stayed there, how long I listened to that YouTube. So I immediately went to the preferences and opted out. And all I really opted out of was my ability to see this tracking. The tracking didn't stop.
Exactly. Great point.
And so, you know, like, the whole idea of, you know, the AI made me do it. You know, a hacker sold your data. You know, all of those things are completely bogus. You know, I'm always amazed at people who sign up for services like Echo and Siri, you know, as if, you know, oh, it's so helpful. It's free. You know, if you do it the right way. And in the last, 24 hours, there was just a massive amount of data stolen. 31 million users, actually 40 million users, had their data stolen because they got a free or slightly charged for app called AI Type. And this was an app that ran on your phone, your smartphone, so that you could type things faster. And it turns out that they got everything. The people who set this up, they say that some hackers broke in. But they were watching everything you were typing, your passwords.
Yeah.
Your new blog, the secret article that you're going to use to bust this thing right open. I mean, you don't even have to send it. If you use, trackers on your computer, you'll see a lot of data going out, even though you haven't sent any email. Even while your rough draft that you are secretly, supposedly typing on your own machine is going out word for word.
Yeah, keystroke for keystroke.
Yeah. And it's there was another article where, they make this blockchain technology so complex, but they also show how much money, how much reward some people are getting. So people who don't know what they're doing will sign up for companies that are going to help you make a killing with Bitcoin. And one of them, a company, I think, in Utah, their members lost something like $64 million.
Yep.
Of Bitcoin that just disappeared.
Yep.
And they said, some hackers must have done it, but don't worry because we're working on it. And, before you know it, this is even going to be more secure than ever. But these people who signed up for this, are saying, where's the money? And they said, it's probably gone.
Yep.
And you might say, that's what you get for making a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
But if you understand the whole blockchain technology, you know that the central banks are running scared because one of the aspects of this blockchain technology is it's distributing the record keeper, the record keeping of these transactions between you and I. A financial transaction. It's putting it somewhere outside of a centralized bank. It's potentially. I don't think it's going to work, but it's potentially, it's a way to decentralize these centralizing, digital companies who are trying to get everything. I mean, even if you don't. I've never owned a cell phone, but people who come to your house, to your church service, to your planning session, for some local political community action, if you let them into your house, with their cell phone, even if it's turned off, everything is out there. And it's not AI that's doing it. It's just a massive computer network that is parsing billions and billions of gigabytes of data. It's not AI. It's just a very quick method of just finding, keywords. And what's interesting, it's not even about, some van down the street with two, spooks in it, with headphones on listening to you. It's the individual is not even that important. It's the aggregate of data, how information flows through that system, who calls who, and what do they fall for and what don't they fall for. It's not the individual data that they're looking for. It's how communities work and interact together. That's what they're really controlling. And with this technology, they're able to do it. And I think one of the things we all need to talk about and think about is how do we opt out for real?
Yeah.
You know, and that might have far-reaching repercussions. And many people are going to say, no, you can't take away my phone. You know, you can't take away doing things digitally. You know, I'll be lost. I won't have a social community.
Yeah.
But those questions are the questions that we need to ask. And they may have far-reaching and fairly extreme consequences.
Yeah. I completely agree. You know, watching what's happening, if anybody's watching the AI and machine learning discussion, I mean, it's just crazy. It's just unhinged what's going on, really. You know, Elon Musk said at MIT back in 2014 that AI is more dangerous than nuclear weapons, yet we have any number of artificial intelligence and machine learning libraries, code bases that are they're open source. You can go to TensorFlow and see Google's, for example, and download it on GitHub. There was the story about, you know, NVIDIA's GAN stories, the generative adversarial networks that system that they've developed, where the story that they published recently about the celebrities, the 2 hours worth of celebrities that the generative adversarial networks software is creating that are not real people, and that's scary. Now they have the videos that they say they can take a real video and turn it into a video game, or they can turn video game video into real, and they show examples of taking, for example, a winter video scenescape, or a winter scenescape video, I guess, and turning it into something that looks like spring or fall, where the trees that don't have any leaves on them suddenly have leaves, and the snow on the ground is suddenly gone, and the roadway is all clear, and things. And the library to build that is online on GitHub. You can, you know, and anybody that is on GitHub, you know how easy it is. I mean, to download that and use it is as simple as typing clone and then pasting the address to that, and away you go, essentially. So, these libraries are available. It's dangerous. They can do things all by themselves. It's machine learning. And so it quickly gets out of the hands of developers quite frequently, if not always. And that's just one aspect. Then you have all of the other issues. You know, we're basically wiring up a supercomputer. When you understand how the blockchain works, folks, it's a distributed network, and all of your machines are a part of the network, all part of one giant supercomputer. And, you know, as far as what William said about logging of keystrokes, which I've talked about for years, again, you can find keylogger code bases on GitHub too, and deploy those on your own website or app. Imagine those keylogger programs in the blockchain. That's, you know, that's what my
already happened.
Exactly, which is why, as William says, we need to opt out. I mean, more of that is better. Second hour coming up, folks. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.